What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. The craziness of the NFL offseason continues. Wow, Jamie. Teron Armstead to the Dolphins. Huge franchise-altering move.
Actually, have you done our Jameson Crowder emergency podcast yet?
No, I wasn't sure if we should do just Duke Johnson and then Jameson Crowder or combine them. But actually, getting Teron Armstead's a pretty big deal. But then you go and you acquire Tyreek Hill the next day for 5 picks. First, second, and fourth rounders this year. Fourth and sixth rounders next year. No picks higher than 29th overall. That'll be the first round pick they give to the Chiefs this year. And the Dolphins signed Tyreek Hill to a 4-year deal worth $120 million. So that's an extension with $72.2 million guaranteed, according to Adam Schefter. Boy. All right, give me your immediate reaction here. And then I'm going to ask you to rank Juju Smith-Schuster versus Jalen Waddle, since that's what everybody wants to know.
My immediate reaction is, it feels a little sad, because you're taking away one of the best pairings that we've had in the last, 4 or 5 years of Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. And even if, Mahomes gets a quality replacement, whether it's Juju or, now finally Mecole Hardman gets to fulfill his potential as the guy there, if it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's rumored to be signing, if it's a rookie that they draft now in the first round, none of those guys are going to be what Tyreek Hill would have been in this offense for at least this season and probably the next couple of years. So, you downgrade Mahomes, you have to. You downgrade Tyreek Hill because of the quarterback downgrade. And it hurts Jalen Waddle. So, it just feels like across the board, the top guys lose a little bit. Travis Kelce, not so much, because I don't think, you change his status. But the second tier guys, they benefit in Kansas City. Again, whether it's Hardman or Juju or, whoever else they bring in, all those guys get a boost, clearly. But, you're taking away, you think about this. We went into the offseason with Davante Adams, potentially the number one receiver, Tyreek Hill, surefire top five guy. And now Adams, borderline top five guy, depending on how you view it. And Tyreek Hill, maybe borderline top 10 guy. I haven't really settled on where I'm going to rank him yet, but he's no longer in the top five. And, that's frustrating.
It is pretty interesting. There are so many angles to this trade in terms of fantasy, but when you talk about who you're taking in the first round, there was, as of a week ago, 5 top receivers that were, I don't know if they were consensus, but pretty close in some order: Adams, Kupp, Chase, Jefferson, Hill. It's probably a big 3 now, right?
I still think Adams and Hill have value, but in the first round, yes, I think you're only going to see those 3 guys, barring something crazy happening in the next week or the NFL draft. But, I think it's, and I know we did draft yesterday, PPR draft yesterday. I think Tyreek Hill was the first round pick. But Jamar Chase was not. I know Chase was definitely the second round. And so,
yeah, he was 13th, but he could have, right? No, he's 14th. I'll look it up now. No, Jamar Chase. Because I had a late pick and I was debating.
Chase was 15th.
15th. And yeah, this is the thing. What I'm saying is, if you have a late pick and you're deciding between a running back and a wide receiver, I think this makes you more likely to take one of the big 3, because they are now in a smaller tier and they might have an even bigger edge over the position without Tyreek Hill paired with Patrick Mahomes, without Davante Adams paired with Aaron Rodgers. Kupp, Chase, Jefferson on paper may have gained value just in terms of, they're just that much better than the rest of the position now. It's not a big 5, it's a big 3. So maybe if you're considering who's a back end of the first round running back, Joe Mixon versus one of those three. It's not going to be Cup. He'll go off the board. But Joe Mixon versus Jefferson or Chase, I feel like this maybe changes things. It makes you go wide receiver more than running back now just because wide receiver has been weakened at the top. Do you agree
with that? Yeah, I guess the only counter to that would be, you know, how the draft is unfolding, because if you're, you know, 11, 12 and both receivers are still there, you could conceivably hope that the guy after you, well, obviously not 12, but 11, leaves one. So,
all right, let's say you're eighth. Let's say you're eighth and Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're torn on Mixon, you know, who knows where Javonte ends up with any competition. You know, Najee may fall a little bit. McCaffrey, who knows, you know, depending on your league. Kamara, if there's a suspension. Dalvin Cook is clearly losing some steam for some reason. You know, so if you're staring at that group, and if you want to take it a step further, you know, Nick Chubb, Antonio Gibson, you know, those guys, you might be better off just taking the receiver and taking the running back that falls back to you.
Okay. So now to the rankings here, where's Tyreek Hill?
So when I first looked at it, I've unfortunately been stuck in a chair doing video stuff for, when I say unfortunately, just in terms of my rankings, but, I've been stuck in this chair, so I haven't got a chance. I didn't bring my computer with me upstairs. So I was just kind of eyeballing it. And initially I thought eighth, which would put him behind the three that you mentioned. I still have Adams fourth ahead of Hill. And then it is Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown as my top seven, with Tyreek Hill in the mix there. And so I initially thought I'll put him behind A.J. Brown. But I'm not sure. You know, it's just, is Keenan Allen better in PPR with his quarterback still than Tyreek Hill? Who, to me, Tyreek Hill feels like he's going to be, and this is clearly a good thing, a better version of Deebo Samuel, because I would imagine Mike McDaniel is going to do some similar things with him, right? Not necessarily the carries to the same level, but you remember Tyreek Hill's early part of his career, he was lining up in the backfield a lot, you know, before he really understood how to play receiver and how the Chiefs really fully maximized how to use him. And so could they do some of those things in Miami, which I think makes some sense, you know, to just be creative with them, you know, so bubble screens, some more jet sweeps, some more of those things, not necessarily carries per se. So I think there'll be some of that creativity, but, you know, it's not Mahomes, you know, and that's the thing you got to deal with. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not Andy Reid. So, you know, you're asking a lot of Tua, who's, you know, the only, I think, way to label him has been a bust. And you're asking a lot of Mike McDaniel as a first time head coach to do those things with clearly a player who's a unicorn. And so it's just a matter of, I think, where your trust level comes in, comparing him to, you know, the Bucs guys, assuming Chris Godwin is healthy, yeah, to T. Higgins.
Godwin, I mean, I feel like Godwin will move way up if he's good to go for training camp, good to go for preseason, right? Yeah. Yep. And I think right now in a full PPR league, I would definitely take him over Tyreek Hill. Definitely.
And right now.
I'm sorry, with the caveat that they're both playing week one, you know, no setbacks.
Oh,
no,
for sure. Yeah. If you told me right now both are healthy, I would take Godwin, yes.
And you're going to Tua Tagovailoa, who I think only Jared Goff averaged fewer air yards per pass attempt than Tua last year. I'll look that up right now. But the Armstead signing to a five-year deal is a pretty big deal. It's going to go under the radar now, but they had arguably the worst offensive line. If you looked at the games, if you looked at the PFF ratings, the Dolphins' offensive line was terrible. Getting a franchise left tackle in there, let's hope he can stay healthy. Let's hope he's not at that point of his career where he's breaking down. I know he had some injury issues last year, but Teron Armstead coming over from the Saints to the Dolphins, it should really help. I mean, the Dolphins have gotten so much better in the last 24
And Connor Williams,
hours.
Let's not forget his
yes.
time.
Yes, yes. So they have gotten a lot better. All right, so Tyreek Hill, you're thinking somewhere around eight. We'll see how things shake out there. Mahomes. He was one or two for you?
He was two. Both Dave and Heath had him one. I had him two.
And now?
So again, you know, just eyeballing it, it really comes down to Brady and Wilson, because I'm going to take Justin Herbert ahead of him. I'm going to take Lamar Jackson ahead of him. And then it comes down to Brady, who was five for me. So it went originally Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Jackson, Brady five, Russell Wilson six. And so, do I trust Patrick Mahomes with a receiving core of Juju, who he's never played with, Mecole Hardman, who has, you know, clearly never lived up to the expectations? There is the thought, because he was visiting there, that Marquez Valdes-Scantling will be signed and could be the replacement. So factor that in for anybody listening to this not live. And then you have the best tight end in football plus Andy Reid. So does Mahomes with that group stand out more so than Brady or Wilson? I'll probably put him behind Brady, but ahead of Wilson right now. So he'll be fifth.
Okay. So he, just like Aaron Rodgers, without Devontae Adams, we have a limited sample of Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill, and it's pretty good. I think it was four games in 2019, not including week one, which was also a great week, where Tyreek Hill left with an injury. I mean, if you do want to include that game, weeks one, two, and three.
Now you're adding that one?
I don't know. It depends what side of the Mahomes debate I want to be on. If you want to include that, I'll just look at his first five games. First five games of 2019. Tyreek Hill got hurt in week one and he missed the next four. Patrick Mahomes scored 33, 40, 34, 18, and 21 fantasy points. In those last two games, he only threw one touchdown, but he threw for 315 and 321 yards in those two games. And in those five games, and I'm just looking at this now, I haven't done this before the show, I'm sorry about that, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions. So he was outstanding with three monster games out of five without Tyreek Hill. And Rodgers also had some terrific performances without Devontae Adams. So I'm just throwing that out there, Jamie. The limited track record, the limited sample size is very good. It's a lot better, I would say, than what we've seen in a limited sample size of Tyreek Hill without Patrick Mahomes. And if you want some numbers on that, I mean, I think you would look if Tua, by the way, he had the fourth lowest intended air yards per pass attempt last year. It was Roethlisberger, Andy Dalton who qualified, and Goff were lower in terms of how far they threw per pass.
Yeah, I think some of that though is, you know, Tua would be even on three-step drops,
sure,
foot in the ground, there's a guy in his face.
Sure. But he hasn't shown the ability to really throw the ball downfield yet at this level.
Yep.
I guess if there's two seasons that you want to look at with Tyreek Hill, it would be his second year in the league, which was with Alex Smith, and he was very good. He was fourth in non-PPR, ninth in PPR. It was a very weak year for receiver, but it was 75 catches, almost 1,200 yards, seven touchdowns, as still a young guy emerging. And then last year, even though Hill played, or even though Mahomes played, it was a very different offense, where Mahomes was 25th, by the way, in air yards per pass attempt. They weren't throwing the ball downfield. So we got a little bit of a sample of what Tyreek Hill looked like as less of a downfield guy, much lower ADOT. And he had, once again, a great season. It wasn't typical Tyreek Hill. He was seventh per game in non-PPR, seventh in half PPR, sixth per game in full PPR. But he was really good. He just caught a ton of passes, but didn't make the explosive plays. I'm not sure if that translates at all. But all right, Jamie, I'm sorry. Is there anything you want to add to that? I'm just trying to throwing out some stat.
No, it's all relevant. I was just quickly looking at our draft from yesterday, and I'm curious where you would take Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
So assuming that he goes behind the group of Kupp, Jefferson, and Chase, so we start there. So here are the receivers that came off the board. This was our staff. So Frank Stanfield's part of this, Jacob Gibbs, you know, most of the voices that you hear and some of our producers at HQ. So would you take Tyreek Hill or A.J. Brown?
I would take A.J. Brown in non or half, and I would take Tyreek in full PPR.
Okay, so then you answered the question. He would be the fourth receiver off the board for you.
No, he would be maybe the fifth. Diggs would be fourth.
So this is the order it went. It went after Chase, Jacob Gibbs took A.J. Brown, then Diggs, then... I'm sorry, then Adams, then Diggs, then Lamb, and then Debo.
So if I were doing rankings, it would be the big three, followed by Diggs, followed by probably Adams, followed by asterisks Chris Godwin, if healthy, and then Tyreek Hill would probably fall in around there.
So you take Hill over A.J. Brown?
In full PPR, because I don't think he's good. And that's the thing, Hill is actually not been a full PPR guy. I think he will be better in full PPR. I feel like that's what the Dolphins offense will be more, you know, more suited to, like what we saw with Waddle last year, even though
different offense.
I know. I still don't think they're going to be a downfield throw, super efficient. Like Mahomes, so incredibly efficient. So they didn't run that many plays because they had so many long touchdowns and things like that. And last year was very different. And you saw Tyreek Hill's targets and catches go way up. He won't hit those levels, But I feel like he'll profile more like that Tyreek Hill than the downfield guy, explosive play guy that he was in the previous 3 years. That's what I think. What do you think?
I think the numbers you gave in the Alex Smith season are very realistic, because if Mike McDaniel brings something from San Francisco, it's getting guys in space and yards after catch. And so that, I think, is where his numbers will be a little bit different. It's not going to be the intended air yards down the field. I think it's going to be more what he does with the ball in his hands. Mm. And that ability, which will maximize Tua's ability, where he doesn't have to sit there and, you know, throw the ball 50 yards down the field and hope Tyreek Hill can run under it and make a play. Because I still don't think this offensive line is going to be tremendously great. I think it's going to take a significant stride, like you said. But there's still some holes there that could potentially be filled, or just better coaching and better scheme helps those guys play better. So, look, Tyreek has shared the field with the best tight end maybe in NFL history. But he's now has to share the field with a guy like Jalen Waddle, just does different things, has a rapport and a history with Tua going back to college. And so, you know, he's going to have to, you know, change that a little bit, where Tua's safety valve was Jalen Waddle last season. So if they keep Parker, it's a very good group.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, Cedric Wilson's an underrated player. He's not a star. He's not going to be a good fantasy option, but he's a good player. And Mike Gesicki, we know, is, you know, we've been waiting for somebody to unleash him, and maybe McDaniel is that type of guy. So it's a good group. It's a fast group. My God. I mean, yep. You know, Raheem Mostert, his 40 time was amazing. Waddle's 40 time, amazing. Tyreek Hill, we know, 4-3 guy. This team can run. You know, they've put together a very nice, you know, offensive unit here. And it's just a matter of, if Tua is good, they will be good. And if Tua stinks, well, then you know what you're dealing with. You're not drafting Tyreek Hill, I think, as a fantasy receiver based on what Tyreek Hill's capable of, because you kind of know what he's capable of. You said it. Yeah, he's done it without
Smith. He's awesome.
He was amazing with Mahomes. So he'll be probably around the Alex Smith numbers if things go right for Tua. But if Tua stinks, it's a wasted second round pick.
Yeah, Smith had a very good year that year, but he only threw about 4,000. Actually, he's pretty good, because he's about 4,000 yards in 15 games that year. He averaged something like 265 passing yards per game. And before this trade, I don't think anybody would have projected that for Tua Tagovailoa. But Tyreek Hill just has that ability to make plays after the catch or before the catch. He's a one-man fantasy point machine, and we'll see where he falls. Okay, so we have a lot more to talk about here.
He does benefit with J.C. Jackson leaving the division. That's a good thing for the Patriots.
Sure.
But he's got to face the Bills defense twice, which might not be great.
So you've got Travis Kelce. Is he the definitive number one now?
Yes.
Okay. These are teasers.
Especially with 300 targets coming his way.
Juju Smith-Schuster versus Jalen Waddle. I'm actually curious to see what you think about that. We'll talk about Tua. Would you take Tua over Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence? All those questions will be answered when we come back on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So did you have, I always forget, Jamie, did you have Kelce ahead of Andrews?
Yes.
Okay. And now it's not even close or what?
Now it's not close, no.
Okay. So
Kelce was a second round pick for me. I may put him back in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the draft we did yesterday. Najee Harris, DeAndre Swift, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon. Would you take Kelce over any of them in a PPR league?
I would not take DeAndre Swift over Travis Kelce.
But you'd take Najee, Cook, and Mixon?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's a first-round pick now. And he's going to go ahead of Tyreek Hill, obviously, who went 11th. All right, we don't have to say much about Kelce. And obviously, Chiefs aren't done. There's an NFL draft coming. It's loaded in wide receivers. And maybe there's another move to be made.
You know, there's a quarter of the teams in the NFL that do not have a first round pick.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow. Wow. Also, was reading the report, the Jets had a trade lined up for Tyreek Hill too. And I think they let Tyreek Hill decide where he wanted to go between Miami and the Jets.
It's not a first round pick though, according to the package that Schefter and Rappaport tweeted.
But it couldn't have been that much lower than...
It was 3 seconds.
3 seconds. Okay. And the highest pick they got was 29th from the Dolphins. So let's go to, Jalen Waddle versus Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't think it's a crazy question at this point. Who would you take?
To be honest with you, Adam, you know, barring what the Chiefs do, I don't know if Juju's better than Mecole Hardman. I'm going to draft Juju ahead of Mecole Hardman. But, I mean, we know what Mecole Hardman's done when Tyreek Hill's been off the field. And if you go back to when they drafted him, that was the intent, was Hill maybe being suspended and they were thinking about releasing him. You know, if you go back to his off-field situation at the time. So could Hardman be the biggest winner in all of this? I want to see, because I think if they bring in Valdez-Scantling, that kind of tells you what they think of Hardman. But, you know, we said this prior to last year that every time Tyreek Hill missed games, Mecole Hardman was pretty special.
Was he, though? I didn't remember it being that way. So I wish I had more time to do that research. I thought it was more like sometimes Hardman, sometimes DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle.
Prior to last year.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take your word for that. But 78%, by the way, we have a poll on YouTube, 78% say Juju over, was it Juju over Hardman? Okay, I wanted Juju over Waddle. I want to see what people think about that. I think it'll probably be Waddle. But Mecole Hardman, like Juju Smith-Schuster's had a 1,400-yard season.
Oh, I'm not going to rank Hardman over Juju. But again, if it stands as it is right now, so they don't get Valdez-Scantling and they, you know, day three draft pick, you know, just because they're backfilling their receiving core, then, you know, it certainly shows you what they think of Juju. But, you know, they had to have this conversation before they signed Juju. You know, so was this the intent that they're going to replace him with Juju Smith-Schuster, who's not the same player? And what did we say when they signed Juju? When has he been at his best? When he's not been the lead guy? Now you could say, okay, Kelsey's there, he's not the lead guy, but still. So I'm excited for Juju. He's a big winner in all this by far, but I still think I'm taking Jalen Waddle.
It's
PPR.
It's a very limited sample of games without Mecole Hardman, without Tyreek Hill, but Hardman. Here were the four games that Hill missed in 2019. Hardman had 4 for 61 and a touchdown on 6 targets, 2 for 97 and 1 on 5 targets, 2 for 9 on 5 targets, bad game there, and 4 for 79 on 6 targets. So he had 5 to 6 targets in all four games, and he came through with 16, 18, 1, and 11 PPR fantasy points. 3 good games out of 4. All right, we're getting a Juju Smith-Schuster versus Jalen Waddle poll right now on YouTube. Please vote if you're watching. Let's talk about Waddle and where you're going to end up ranking him. He was top 12 in PPR last year. Not quite close to that in non-PPR. He was very catch-heavy. But also, one thing you should know, his numbers were dramatically better with Tua than they were with Jacoby Brissett, so he would have had an even better year if Tua hadn't gotten hurt. But 21 in non-PPR last year, 12th in PPR per game, 25th in non, 14th in PPR for Jalen Waddle. All right, where are you going to rank Waddle as of now?
Probably outside the top 24. Certainly non-PPR, because I think the touchdowns is where he'll lose. PPR probably still in the top 24. You know, I'll have to just, you know, once I sit down and look at it. But, you know, he's past Amari Cooper. He'll be behind Amari Cooper. He'll be behind Brandon Cooks and DeAndre Hopkins and certainly the Bucs guys. T. Higgins, he's behind him. It just comes to, you know, like the Adam Thielen, Mike Williams group, Marquise Brown, Michael Pittman. You know, I don't know if he's still better than those guys. That's the question you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask myself. I think, again, the rapport with Tua will matter. I think McDaniels, you know, looking at Jalen Waddle as a superstar, as he said prior to, or when he got the job, but he didn't have Tyreek Hill at the time. But there's only so many footballs to go around on a team that you got to figure is still going to want to run the ball, because that's what Mike McDaniel's coming from. You know, so less targets probably in his direction it's hard to say Jalen Waddle is still a must-start fantasy receiver in a two-receiver league.
Oh, man. Mike, did you say Mike Williams versus Waddle?
It's easy in non-PPR. PPR is tougher. You know, so, you know, Williams is probably a 75 catch guy, right? You would say maybe 85 at best in this offense.
Yeah.
And Waddle's coming off a 100 catch season, but that's with, you know, Devontae Parker missing half the season as well. So, yeah, I'll probably still take Mike Williams.
Yeah, it's, let's see if we have Waddle. Waddle's at 73% of the vote over Juju Smith-Schuster, which makes a ton of sense. But Waddle,
it won't be far off, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you just try to do the math and the opportunity and all that, Waddle, though, I just wonder if he's a superstar. Obviously, having the rookie season that he did, fifth overall pick, maybe sixth overall pick. And, so got the pedigree. He can do so much more. He started to make more explosive plays late in the year. He wasn't making any of them in the first half of the season. Started to make some more later in the year. And maybe he could become a bargain if he just really emerges. It might be at the expense of Tyreek Hill, but, you know, he's damn good. Okay, and then anything else? How about Tua? Would you take Tua over those second-year quarterbacks, Fields, Lance, Lawrence?
Fields, yes, because I think Lance, with his legs, will make more plays. So it'll probably go... Like right now, I have Derek Carr 13, Aaron Rodgers 14, Trey Lance 15, Fields 16. I think I might have had Tua 17 already. And so Tua will probably, I might put him ahead of Aaron Rodgers at this point. You know, it's just crazy.
That's so tough. All right, one more poll, Shraggy.
It could be where Tua is, you know, again, you don't want to make direct parallels between a coach coming from one place to another. But Jimmy G had some pretty good weapons. Wasn't mobile. He was a little bit more mobile, but wasn't mobile. And wasn't a great fantasy quarterback. He had moments, but wasn't consistently good.
They ran the ball so well.
And I think that's what the Dolphins are going to do too.
You think so? I don't know that they can. Maybe they can. I guess, you know, they have had two offensive line upgrades. Why would you trade for Hill if you're going to be run heavy, though?
Because he's a difference-making player.
Yeah, he doesn't need the ball that much to make plays. They really, I mean, if Tua plays well, they are freaking loaded. You already talked about it, but because with
their defense
Waddle
is good.
Yeah, with Waddle and Hill, you have two receivers who can make big plays. I know we didn't see that from Waddle so much last year, but in college, that's all he did.
So all right, now this is going to sound stupid, but take the quarterbacks away. Which roster do you like better, Buffalo or Miami?
Buffalo or Miami? I thought you were going to say the Chiefs or Miami. Take the quarterbacks away. What roster do I like? I would say Buffalo.
I would too, but it got a lot closer today.
Oh, sure.
Or this week.
Maybe I wouldn't say Buffalo.
No, I'd say Buffalo, but it's close. Buffalo has a lot of guys like that just make plays. They're not stars. Like the Dolphins, you know, probably a little bit splashier with some of the guys they have on their defensive side of the ball. But yeah, it's going to be a fun AFC East now.
Mr. Davius White, is he back or is he a free agent? I think he's back, right?
White, I believe, is back. He's coming off an ACL tear, right?
Yeah, he's coming off ACL. Yeah, he signed a big contract extension in 2020. But I don't mean to keep bringing it up, but the fact, like, they had just also signed the best free agent offensive lineman. So when you compare their rosters, they now have, if he's right, a franchise left tackle. And that's
yes, sick. And you assume there's probably another move coming in the draft for the offensive line as well.
Right. Do they have a first-round pick now?
Not anymore.
By the way, 60% for Rodgers over Tua. I'm going to take Rodgers. I almost don't feel like there's any scenario where I could take Tua over Rodgers.
I will probably have it where I move Tua ahead of Fields. But if the Packers don't do anything at receiver, barring, you know, a day two pick in the draft and then a Julio Jones, Odell Beckham type of guy, I will take Lance over Rodgers too.
I feel so bad for Heath because every time, I don't care about the Tyreek thing for Heath, but every time we're supposed to do a dynasty show, something just seems to derail all of our dynasty talk and it gets minimized within the show. So tomorrow is supposed to be a full-length dynasty show, but how are we not going to be talking about
Tyreek? I can tell you that I'm a Tyreek Hill dynasty manager and I don't love this.
Yeah.
And I would imagine the Jalen Waddle dynasty manager doesn't love this. And I would imagine the people that may have said that have made some lowball offers for Juju Smith-Schuster or even Mecole Hardman because thinking he might get cut, maybe gets a chance someplace else after, you know, adding Juju. Those people are probably pretty happy right now. The Mahomes manager is not happy.
No.
The Tua manager is very happy.
I wonder how Patrick Mahomes himself is feeling.
He just goes back and looks at this $500 million and says,
are they going to finish last in the division?
That would be crazy, wouldn't it?
I don't think they will.
All right. So offensively, who do you like better? Chiefs or Broncos? You want to say Broncos?
I do want to say Broncos. Yeah, I'll say the Broncos. Yeah, I'll say
Chargers or Chargers or Chiefs.
Yeah, I'll rank the offenses: Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, Raiders.
How Why the Chiefs you? Over the Raiders? Just because of the quarterback?
Yeah, yeah. How about you?
I mean, look, offensive line, I give the edge to the Chiefs. Quarterback, I give the edge to the Chiefs. The tight end equation is close. It's obviously favor the Chiefs, but you know, you can't downgrade Waller that much.
Okay, actually,
Yeah,
I forgot. There's another element here. I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead, finish up.
No, everything else is the Raiders.
Do you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets a big boost here?
Big boost? I mean, it's hard to say, but you know, so far this offseason has been good for him.
You looking at?
I haven't brought anybody in yet.
You're looking at Clyde versus Chase Edmonds PPR.
I take Clyde, but they're almost back to back for me at this point. But yeah, I mean, I probably don't have Clyde ranked high enough compared to what he should be able to do. I'll adjust that.
I feel like he's a steal right now. The way I've seen our drafts play out, he's not saying he's great, but to get the starting running back, a starting running back for any team, would be great. And for it to be the Chiefs would also be good. And hopefully this gets him to catch a few more passes. All right, Jamie, thank you for this 30-minute bonus pod. We could go another 30, I'm sure, but we got another episode coming for you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. We will talk to you then.
Heath is happy right now.
Heath is not happy.
Because he said he was emotionally invested in the Juju Smith-Schuster signing because he's also a Juju guy. And now Tyreek Hill is gone.
I think this feels like... And this is a crazy thing to say. But the Chiefs have gone from winning the Super Bowl to losing the Super Bowl to losing in the AFC Championship game. And now they are going to lose Tyreek Hill. Kelce is getting up there in age. Who knows how long Andy Reid will be around to coach. I don't know. I mean, does it feel like the end of a dynasty that never really started? Did they already peak, even though they have Mahomes locked up forever? Probably not.
I posted a poll. What's been more fun, the NFL season or the NFL offseason? And the offseason, you know, obviously it's a little recency bias, but running away with it was like when I last looked, there was 800 votes. It was 82% in favor of offseason.
Well, that's stupid, Jamie, because we actually just had the greatest NFL season that we've ever had.
And we're having the greatest offseason.
That is true. That is true. It was an amazing season.
But somebody replied to it and said, the Chiefs playoff run was awesome because of the Bills game, but this is worse than losing to the Bengals in the championship game.
Yeah, this is really, you know, it's not exactly franchise altering, but it's, you cannot really replace Tyreek Hill.
Well, I mean, the Packers too, you know, you're taking away and look, you take a step back to have to pay a 28-year-old receiver $120 million, $72 million guaranteed. That hamstrings your franchise. That's a we're ready to go win a Super Bowl move by the Dolphins, and I don't think they're ready to do that. Raiders, same thing. They made a move to get Davante Adams, who's 29, franchise-altering financial situation. But the flip side of that is if you use the capital you get in return the right way, which you're trusting the Chiefs front office to do so, and let's keep in mind that they were the ones that got Patrick Mahomes, not the first overall pick. They were the ones that got Tyreek Hill, not a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the ones that took a chance on Travis Kelce, made him into what he is. You know, so this is a franchise that has found certainly diamonds in the rough and made them superstars. And so, to your point, Andy Reid, if he hangs it up, okay, maybe Eric Bieniemy is the same type of guy to whatever degree there's a decline. But the hope would be, and this is what the Chiefs, I think, are banking on, Mahomes is going to make whoever's around him that much better. And we'll find out.
And they have so much draft capital, they could trade up and take any wide receiver they want. And perhaps the dynasty landscape gets shaken up and our drafts, you know, get more fun if they trade up and take, you know, their favorite wide receiver and whichever rookie goes to the Chiefs in the first round, if that does happen, could be really exciting.
All right, let me give you another scenario real quick. Garrett Wilson to the Chiefs or Drake London to the Packers? Who are you taking first?
Wilson. How about you?
I'm taking Wilson first also, but what if it's flipped?
I really like Wilson. I can't really say I know much about London. You know, obviously I know him, but I think the Packers are just going to... The Packers can fall back on their two-headed monster running game. The Chiefs really can't. So I think...
They can fall back on Travis Kelce, though.
Sure. I just think that the Chiefs have to throw the ball. And the Packers, the Chiefs are probably going to throw for 700 more yards than the Packers. So I'll take the guy who goes to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks. Thanks for your time. I like your shirt, by the way. It's a cool shirt.
Thank you. Express.
Oh, Express really came through. Great stuff at Express.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoy the bonus pod.
I'm not wearing pants,
though. Yeah, no. I got my boxers from Express, though. See you later.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.